This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Ross Sapp. It is October 23rd, 2024. This is The Hump. Today, we are allowing you guys to guide this virtually entire show. We have a couple things that we have in mind to speak about, but your super chats, your humper chats dictate the direction of virtually all of this show. So go over to youtube.com/Fightful or humperchats.com. You can send in a super chat or a humper chat. I know we've got an audience that has really blossomed on Twitter, on X, on Twitch. You can go over to humperchats.com and get those in. And based on, you know, what you send, we will spend a whole bunch of time on those things. Somebody says, what happened to the hump? What are you talking about? What happened to the hump? What happened to the hump?
Maybe they mean the bump.
The bump? I don't.
Maybe.
Well, we ain't the people to ask. Well, I guess we kind of are.
Exactly. Exactly. It's, yeah.
Sort of what I do for a living. So.
Well, they got afraid of us, so they knew, you know, they knew
that. Yeah, that must be it. Well, that must be it. But guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop a nice fruit emoji. Let us know that you're here. We would greatly appreciate that. But hey, if you got questions here, like this person, go over, send us a super chat. Send us a humper chat. We would greatly appreciate it. But Jimmy, what are you doing, man?
Things are good, Sean Ross Sapp. I know that this is going to be a viewer-driven show today with Super Chats, but I do want to get your thoughts on something first.
Okay.
And then after that, we can go into the Super Chats. Did you see the Piers Morgan Vince McMahon panel?
I did see it. Not only did I see it there, you know what? I'll see specifically who it was that reached out to me, but they wanted us to cover it. It was pretty clear. They straight up hit me up. They emailed me and then they said, yeah, we would love to have you on in the future. But I did watch it. I watched about half of it.
Did you?
It was something. Yeah.
So in case you missed it, you can see it on YouTube. The whole thing is there. Piers Morgan, you know, I think he works now for the BBC or someplace, one of the UK channels. He had former WWE staffers on, including Maven and Jonathan Coachman and the former Charlie Caruso and your old buddy Vince Russo. And then Piers Morgan had a surprise guest, although Maven said he knew. But Piers Morgan had a surprise guest, and it was Phil Mushnick, who's a longtime writer for the New York Post. Now, I know that you and Vince Russo, you guys have had some issues, but I got to say, I loved watching him cut a promo on film.
That was one of the more entertaining aspects of it. Like,
I loved it.
So, not to be too sugary about Vince Russo, but I mean, I thought that probably up until the point in which Mushnick appeared on the air, I was like, oh, this is like, I remember him telling me the story about like what Vince McMahon said to him and why he left for WCW. And I was like, that is a completely reasonable thing to do, because if a person like Vince McMahon says what he said to Vince Russo, like, oh yeah, here you go, add two more hours of TV, effectively double your workload for no extra money and hire a nanny, you already make enough. It shows that he doesn't care about your personal time, doesn't care about your own mental health, doesn't care about your family at all. And I can say, as somebody who works with and for someone that has repeatedly showed me that I have made the right decisions and rewarded me financially and cared about my family, that if I were in that position, I would have done the same shit that Vince Russo did. Absolutely. As far as their back and forth, I'm like, man, Mushnick's lost his fastball, man. He was babbling quite a bit there, but I understand why Vince Russo was like, why didn't you come to the symposium? And Mushnick said, well, the guy that ran it was a guy who helped people cheat steroid tests. And I'm like, well, yeah, but if you have the opportunity, you still go there, confront that person too, if that's what you're making your career about. Like, I definitely saw both sides of that. And it was something.
Mushnick's background goes further than the steroid symposium when it comes to pro wrestling. So if you saw the Vince McMahon documentary, Netflix documentary, they interviewed Mushnick mainly about Vince McMahon scandals, right? So he talked about the steroid scandal, and he talked about the Mel Phillips ring boy scandal. And he even touched upon the Jimmy Snuka girlfriend death. But here's the thing, in the 90s, for anybody who might be a new wrestling fan or might not know this, in the 90s, Phil Mushnick wrote about wrestling in the New York Post a lot. And he didn't just write about Vince McMahon, he wrote about wrestling. And he seemed to have a vendetta against pro wrestling. And Sean, I went back and I found a few quotes from the New York Post articles that Phil Mushnick wrote. Now, keep in mind, this is from the 90s. I want to read these quotes that he said about pro wrestling. He said, wrestling was a systemic phenomenon that has established pornography for children. He called it a drug-infested deviant fest. He said wrestling provides children with the lowest imaginable form of television. He called it porn for kids. And all those quotes that I just read, that Phil Mushnick wrote about wrestling, that was just from one article.
It's yes.
April 31st, 1999, with the headline, Turner Fights Back and Fights Dirty, which is about WCW. Mushnick wrote about wrestling pretty frequently back then. And so you can imagine how many shots he took at the business if he said all of that.
Yes.
In one article. He came off like a very conservative, easily offended person. And he came off like one of these people that felt like it was WWE's obligation to parent your kids for you. And it was their obligation, child-friendly content. I got a 7-year-old son. And if my 7-year-old son ever came across a porn movie, and he damn sure wouldn't, but if he ever did, whose fault is it? Is it the producers of the porn movie? No, it's me as his dad. And so in the 90s, not just being a wrestling fan, but I had my old wrestling news site back then, knowyournews.com. For those reasons, I did not care at all for Phil Mushnick. I felt like he was on a crusade, not just to take down Vince McMahon, but to kill the business. And so watching Russo go off on him, I loved it. I smiled through it. And you got to remember, in the 90s, Russo was in WWE. Mm-hmm. And Coachman wasn't. Coachman got there 2000s, I think, late 90s.
I think it was 99.
Okay, yeah, so he wasn't there when Mushnick was really going off. Charlie wasn't there. Maven wasn't there. But Russo was. And Mushnick was on this vendetta against the business. So I loved watching him go off on him. I smiled all the way through it. And yeah, that was my thought on
it. The run-in element was legitimately hilarious. Like, it was the most ridiculous thing.
Coach called him out on that, too. Coach is like, good run-in.
It was funny. It was very funny in that sense. But it was... It was, listen, it got a whole lot of attention, got a whole lot of visibility. And I feel like a lot of the talking points were ones that legitimately needed to be talked about. And like I said, like when Vince isn't doing the shtick, I feel like he is a very valuable person to have, like his experiences conveyed, because he would say things like, well, there's a reason why a lot of these Vince McMahon and him coexisting with particular women's stories didn't happen when I was there. And that's because he said that he didn't want to be responsible for someone being in a position that they were uncomfortable with Vince McMahon. And I mean, you look at the timeline of where those line up, and that is accurate, but like these types of things from people who work directly with him are important to hear about. It's important to hear these experiences and how they viewed him, especially with no fear of retribution at this point, because Vince doesn't really have a pull in this. Like he doesn't really have that, but yeah, it's, if anything, the running is worth a watch for sure. That was funny stuff, but
I loved, so you know how the way they had everybody positioned on screen, right? So everybody's from home or from wherever. Charlie was positioned between Mushnick and Russo. Yeah. And when they were going off on each other, Charlie's looking ahead of the camera with like kind of an awkward smile on her face, you know? But it was very entertaining. Like I said, I've got no love lost for Mushnick. It's one thing for him to go off on Vince McMahon and the scandals, and that's all relevant. But for him to target wrestling the way that he did and to make like it was WWE's obligation to parent your children, I just never agreed with it. Never.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely, I mean, everybody's the hero of their own story, and he definitely does play up the things that have aged very well that he went after.
Right.
But it wasn't just that. When you go back and read a lot of that content, he was going after literally anybody who enjoyed
yes
watching it.
Yeah, so. I'm not a big political guy, but do you remember somebody named Rick Santorum?
I do remember Rick Santorum.
And I think he was going to run for president or something. One of the articles that I came across from years ago was Mushnick crapping on Rick Santorum just because he was, I think, involved with WCW at one point in some capacity.
Well.
And so Mushnick went off on him for that.
Buddy, do I got some news.
Yep.
Just filed. Good afternoon. DeKello Levitt and local counsel filed a major lawsuit today against World Wrestling Entertainment, Vince McMahon, Linda McMahon, and TKO Group Holdings on behalf of five survivors of sexual abuse. The survivors, John Doe's 1 through 5, were known within WWE as Ring Boys, underage boys hired by the organization's ringside announcer and ring crew chief, Mel Phillips, to assist with errands and other tasks in preparation for WWE's wrestling show. And there's a link to hear their stories. The underage ring boys were groomed, exploited, sexually abused by Phillips, who targeted children from broken homes. His sexual assaults occurred not only at the time or at the wrestling venues, but at hotel rooms and other locations where Phillips would shuttle boys in plain sight. Defendants were fully aware of the systemic and pervasive abuse and did nothing to prevent or stop it. The FBI previously identified at least 10 ring boys abused by Phillips, but there are likely countless others who have suffered in silence for decades. There is a full press release available. I am going to run an ad while I send this to my team, obviously. But we'll discuss this because you were a little bit more coherent around that period than I was. But yeah. Let's hear from our sponsors momentarily. Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, what a bombshell. And there is an extensive press release that we are going to post on my Twitter as well as across all things. Jimmy, what's your first reaction hearing this? I mean, it's obvious. It's obvious TKO would love to wash their hands of Vince McMahon and all the things that he did. And this comes after the Mr. McMahon documentary where this is covered heavily. So it's in the public eye. How are you feeling when you hear this?
So back in the day, this was the early 90s, I think. Might have been 92. When this first came to light, it was centered around one specific person, ring boy at the time named Tom Cole. Mm-hmm. And he was the one that was kind of the face of the scandal from the ring boy perspective. Mel Phillips was the former ring announcer who was kind of at the heart of it in terms of being the guilty suspect or whatever, however you want to word it. Terry Garvin was also accused. Terry Garvin used to be, I think, part of creative in WWE. And Pat Patterson was also accused. And you remember in the early 90s, Sean, Terry Garvin and Pat Patterson both left the company, as did Mel Phillips. And then after a little while, Patterson kind of quietly came back. And there were some wrestlers that claimed that Patterson had hit on them, and other wrestlers kind of defended him. Terry Garvin never came back. Hearing this, I guess on the heels of the Netflix documentary, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Because obviously Tom Cole was not the only one. And there were others. Now, I don't know this for 100%, but I thought that WWE settled with Tom Cole at the time. I thought they did. And so I'm going to guess that he might not be part of this, this lawsuit,
but it says there are five involved.
Okay. Okay. But obviously
John Doe, so not named.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, if people aren't familiar, so when WWE would go to a town back then live events was their business. They mm-hmm. didn't have media rights like they do now. So when they would go to a town, Mel Phillips was not just the ring announcer, but he was also part of the ring crew. And they would basically hire young wrestling fans from whatever town they were going to help them put up the ring and take down the ring in exchange for, I think they used to give them like free tickets to the show. I think that's how it used to work. And so Mel Phillips had access to these kids who were wrestling fans, and that's basically what happened. So it doesn't surprise me. And you said there's five. I'm sure there's more that are out there that may or may not have ever come forward. And I'm sure that this is going to result in a pretty quick settlement on the part of TKO.
Yeah.
Number one, they weren't involved at the time. And number two, you don't want this. You don't want this on your watch. They're probably going to try to take care of it as quickly as they can. It was a really crappy situation back then.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I would expect the settlement as well. Obviously we're going to look more into it when we're not on the air and we have a little bit more time to get into it, man. That's a bombshell, but we're going to get to your guys' questions. If you have any questions about this as well, let us know. Emir says, are there any plans for Goldberg to wrestle? And Wesley Ham says, will Goldberg be at Crown Jewel to cost Gunther? I feel like you have to be careful with the Gunther Goldberg stuff. And honestly, first off, I don't ever want Goldberg beating Gunther under any circumstances. If he costs Gunther, that's fine. But also, I feel like the Crown Jewel match should be a one guy beats the other guy, but I know WWE and they're probably going to get somebody involved. I mean, they didn't have a single match without some shenanigans on Monday. So I would imagine something very similar, like No Way Out 04, where the match is cost by Goldberg and then we set something up. But I don't want Goldberg ever winning a match over Gunther ever.
I agree. And I'll be honest. Do you remember when Gunther faced Sammy for the title on Raw right after the last PLE? There were so many people who were convinced that Sammy was going to beat Gunther for the world title because of Goldberg interfering and spearing them. I just couldn't see it. Like, I thought Gunther's one of your made men. He just won the world title. Why would you do that? Even with interference, I didn't see it. And obviously Gunther beat Sammy and that was it. I think Gunther's going to beat Cody at Crown Jewel. I think that KO is gonna get involved, and I think that Gunther's gonna beat Cody, and he should, man. I mean, Gunther's not in a real meaty storyline right now, and Cody is. So that's what I think is gonna happen. But Goldberg, I'm with you. The guy's like 60, man.
Yeah, I'm good for him with him having like the type of send off that he feels like he deserves. I think he contributed enough to the wrestling world, and that's not me you know, like trying to like judge how much he contributed. But I think that he contributed so much that he should have an appropriate ending. And he's the type of guy that even if he's 58, 59 or something, he can have his 4 or 5 minute match. That's Jay beating Mariah for a title shot. This is for Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceovers, who sponsors our Fightful Awards. And if you would like to sponsor them, contact myself, the Fightful account, or Kate. I wish that contenders would be developed by just winning matches against other people, because to me, it really highlights she is not going to win that rematch. And yes. I understand that they're like, okay, well, this justifies it. I also don't want to see champions taking L's all the time, because I mean, they're a champion. I feel like when you become a champion, you sort of earn the right to not have to compete in as many non-title matches. You are held on a pedestal above, unless that title is something like the TNT title, where it's a defendant frequently on TV and open challenges type of thing. I would have liked some other development to become top contender for sure.
I feel the same way. I was starting to look at Mariah as a made woman. Like, I was starting to look at her like that, because she beats Tony, like a really quick rise for her, right? And she beats Tony and she's got all this momentum. I know that Anna Jay, there's been a lot of video and a lot said about her going to Japan and learning new skills and all that stuff. I get it. And Anna Jay looks like a star. Like, don't get me wrong. But I was surprised that they did that. I agree with you. I think that Mariah should be protected. One of AEW's issues, and they got issues, right? One of their issues is their inability to create stars. And this is one of the reasons. Like, Mariah should be protected. I agree. And there's just no, another one of those booking decisions where there's really no benefit.
We got Cool Fool saying, do you think WWE eventually try to restructure their deal with NBC to live stream SmackDown on Peacock along with the USA Network? I think this would be a good idea if they did it, but if they were going to do this, they would have negotiated it into their current deal. Like, I feel like it's probably a thing that they broached, and I'm surprised that it didn't happen along with the USA Network. But I also am okay. I do know their live capabilities, because they stream NFL games, so they have the capabilities to do that. And now that that's mentioned, I'm sort of surprised that they didn't already do that, Jimmy. I'm surprised that that wasn't made a thing.
The only thing I can think of is that it didn't make sense for WWE in terms of the numbers, or whatever their ask is didn't make sense for NBC Universal. Because like you said, I'm sure, I mean, they've already got the Peacock deal for PLEs, right? So yeah. I'm guessing, just like you said, that it's been broached and that the numbers didn't make sense, because otherwise, why wouldn't you? WWE's not going to do it for free.
Of course.
And they're already giving USA Raw for peanuts for 3 months, right?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing the numbers probably didn't make sense.
D'Lo says, from the Ring Boy scandal to McDonald's Quarter Pounder being the cause for E. coli today, it's already going off the rails. Hope everyone has a good day. Listen, I have seen the type of quality of beef that McDonald's buys, and it ain't good, guys. Like, it ain't good.
So I'm not gonna say too much, because I don't want to get sued. I had a girlfriend in high school that worked at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And all I'm going to say is, you've seen the movie Waiting.
Yeah.
And you remember in the movie Waiting, they had things like, for example, I think they said that the desserts were called grade A desserts or something, but that was just like the brand.
Yes.
Right. McDonald's has done stuff like that for years.
Oh, of course.
Decades.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Just Mask says, Jericho getting a title shot for losing one. Who let Vince McMahon book this week's Dynamite? Thanks, Jimmy and Sean. Y'all rock. This is, again, an issue that I have is, and I've always had an issue with it, but like, losing your way up the card, losing your way into opportunities. I don't like that. It's a reason I fell out of love with the UFC. How many fighters get rewarded for inactivity, that sit out for over a year, year and a half, two years?
Yep.
Stipe Miocic is being wedged into a title shot because he did some shit 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's, instead of just giving us the fight that we all wanted, John Jones and Francis Ngannou, just book for the stuff we want to see. Book strong stuff. And if they can't deliver in those individual performances, then move on. I was excited for Jericho to move on from the Hook thing because I thought he was about to start a trios, not get involved in another singles feud. Now, granted, the match at Wrestle Dream was good, but it's like, leave it there. Leave it there. I don't need to see him as ROH champion.
Jericho gets a lot of hate these days, doesn't he?
Listen, the quality isn't as good. The match at Wrestle Dream was very good. But I want to see if he's going to be ROH champion, put him on ROH. Have him on ROH for the love of God.
Do you think, you know how years past we would hear things about how wrestlers didn't want to be on B shows, right? You'd hear that sometimes, whether it be WWE or AEW, you would hear that. Daniel Bryan, Bryan D'Anderson talked about it years ago about how if you were booked for whatever the hell it was, main event, guys would like disappear into catering. You know what I mean? Do you think that people look at it like, well, I don't want to be on Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor has X number of viewers. I want to be on Dynamite, the premiere show. Do you think that's part of it?
Yes, I do. And AEW needs to establish what WWE has effectively established with their talent. First off, what the boss says goes, and there's some feedback, but ultimately in this creative sense, you got a direction of who's getting over and this is what we're doing, but also that there is nothing wrong with being on the Collision or Dynamite surrounding the pay-per-view. Now, a lot of that's, I'd say almost all of it's on Tony. We don't need 14 match shows.
Right.
It only exhausts your audience. And not only that, the matches you're putting on Zero Hour, you could probably put on Rampage and people would be like, yeah, sure. There's nothing like groundbreaking being put on a lot of those Zero Hours. So I think that that needs to be established as well. And they're getting paid big time by WBD, so they need to give WBD their value. Will NXT do more weekly shows on the road? Yes, I almost guarantee they will. Almost guarantee that they will.
I mean, they already announced ECW Arena.
Yes, so a couple weeks away. Who would win at Mania if we get Rock, Roman, Cody? Well, it certainly should not be The Rock. The Rock got his win in the tag match last year. He does not need to win again. If you do Rock, Roman, Cody, honestly, I kind of think Cody should sneak one. And then that leads to Rock and Roman further having a fracture. But who do you think?
Trying to think of the way that WWE books and trying to think of how The Rock is all about self-preservation. I would say if not
Rock, if
not Rock, then Roman.
Yeah, I think it'd be Rock.
Yeah, if not Rock, then Roman, so that Rock can get the match with Roman that he wanted the whole time.
I don't think it will. I don't think it should be The Rock, but I think it would be The Rock. The sky blew out. I'd love to have video packages of her recovery to get fans ready for her return. It would build sympathy for her as well. Just an idea. Well, this is a good idea for any injured talent, but the question is, when will they be back, and will they have any setbacks? So what you don't want to do is use television capital on somebody that you don't have imminent plans for. That being said, they've done that type of thing with like Scorpio Sky and then they just dropped it themselves. So I think it's a good idea. You just have to have an idea of when they're coming back. And that's important because like they kept Adam Cole on TV and they kept Kenny Omega on the road. And then both of them had to leave the road because of the setbacks. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. I've yet to watch NXT. Yeah. Zarya, AKA Delta's look. I think she looks incredible. I think she's going to be a star. I think she's going to do really, really well. She has the endorsement of an awful lot of important people, Jimmy.
Yeah, kind of like a Mortal Kombat thing.
Yeah, I love
it. A little bit. And the production values that they're putting into this stuff, man. I understand technology is a lot easier now. But yeah, quite the production goes into those videos. It's impressive stuff.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots. And you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, Get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to reelect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to reelect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Couple humper chats. Brokely says, question for Jimmy. I think AEW deserves all the money they got in the new deal. My question is about the WBD side of things. How do you think WBD justified to their shareholders paying more when the audience is less?
Multifaceted answer. So first off, they lost the NBA rights. Mm-hmm. Dynamite. And look, I'm not going to sit here and defend Dynamite, you know, in terms of creative quality or whatever, but Dynamite's still a top ranked show on Wednesday. It is.
Yep.
That's just reality. That's
what they care about, the rankings is what they always tell me.
Yeah, yeah. So you lost the NBA rights. Were you going to lose your top-rated show on Wednesday? And the other facet of this is the streaming landscape is so competitive. Everybody is clamoring to get content because the streaming landscape is so competitive. AEW now, you're going to get 52 weeks a year of live television. And they consider that sports television, right? So now you got 52 weeks a year of live sports content on Max. So when you look at from that landscape, now one question I want to ask you, Sean, because I saw some stuff online and Brandon Thurston alluded to it. Have you heard that the contract is not equal money every year, that year one starts out lower?
Yeah, it escalates a little bit. Yeah, just I mean, that's very common in sports and a lot of TV. Like you either front load it or back load it. This is a hypothetical. It starts off at like 180, then 185, then 190, and then the fourth year, supposedly a massive jump.
Right. Okay. So that means that obviously Warner Brothers kind of put protections in it then. If they're not giving them much in year one as year two, then they're giving themselves protections. And I also think 3 years.
Well, as much as they want. I don't want to say as much in general, because this was a show that when advertisers were being prepped for it in 2019, we're told, expect 500,000 viewers.
Right. Yeah. But I think that the way they structured it was smart. Because I've talked forever about if I'm Tony Khan, I want 5 years. If I'm Warner Brothers, I want 3 years because of the decline in popularity. So they got three with an extra. And so that kind of covers both sides. I think it was a well-structured deal. And so now AEW is going to have to deliver. And what I'm curious about is, here's a question for you, hypothetically. So AEW's fan base is a very smart online fan base. How many potential viewers do you think are on Max that aren't already aware of AEW or aren't already watching cable television? Like, do you think there's a significant number of viewers potentially on Max that aren't already watching?
I do think that there's a significant number. I mean, like earlier this year, they were approaching 100 million global subscribers. Now, again, what this does to the viewership, it'll be effectively void because of this. But a big point was brought up to me when I was talking to my contacts at WBD, to AEW, and in the TV industry as a whole. And the big point that they had was channel flipping doesn't exist anymore unless you're in a hotel or something like that. Everybody's got a guide. Everybody has the on-screen thing. And YouTube TV, literally channel flipping doesn't exist. You have recommendations at the top. What you have are app scrollers now. So you scroll through your Netflix, you scroll through your Peacock, you scroll through your Max to see what's there. You see what's featured on the main page. And I have long said this, if you are AEW and you want a younger demographic, well, you certainly want to be on the same app as Euphoria. If you want to capture some perhaps lapsed fans that might be interested in other wrestling content, you want to be on the same app as John Cena's Peacemaker. You want to be the first recommended video after somebody sees the Andre the Giant documentary and goes, man, that seems interesting. I'll check that out. You want your stuff to be featured on an app like that, where people are conditioned to watch things that they might not normally be interested in. If someone were to say, hey, there's this crime story about McDonald's, well, maybe not a lot of people would be interested in it. But they say, here's the trailer for McMillions, and then it's followed by a trailer for an AEW documentary or an AEW show, and they go, man, I used to watch that. That is beneficial, way more beneficial today than it would have been in that medium period where people were sort of converting over. But I think it's very important.
I was going to say, are you already alluding to a Quarter Pounder documentary on?
our buddy Meat Normus says, Meat Update, McDonald's Quarter Pounder was recalled for E. coli. Let's crank. Will Wardlow be involved in the MJF Cole feud? He should be in some capacity. He should be. That should be how they introduce him. Otherwise, I'm like, when are we going to see him again? I don't know if he's sidelined or anything like that, but yeah. And also to Bobby, reports from where? I'd like some clarity on that. But yeah, I would love to see that. Chubb says, is most of the heat coming from AEW and the Lucha Brothers situation on Penta for bragging about going to WWE backstage at AEW? If so, I feel like it would be made sense to extend Penta's contract and let Phoenix go. But business is business, unfortunately. Yes, but they don't have the same abilities to extend Penta that they do with Phoenix. Phoenix missed a lot more time due to injury. It'd be hard to justify that with Penta, but Penta at least left what they believed was a visible, verifiable paper trail of him saying that he was talking to WWE. And also there was some heat on the person that AEW believes was to relay or to interpret their long-term interest in the duo that at least people there felt like didn't do that. And I know that's going to get aggregated, but it's something we had mentioned quite a while back.
Mm. But you know, the one thing I'll say in defense of Tony Khan with that, because I know that he's gotten heat about that. Sure. I'm a big believer in not establishing precedents in business. And if it's true that the Lucha Bros were negotiating with WWE while their contracts with AEW were still valid, I can understand his point of view. I can understand him wanting to let the locker room know. And I know that some fans aren't going to like me saying this, but I can understand him wanting to let the locker room know. If you've got a contract, you have to honor that contract, even though, let's be honest, Sean, you and I both know that when wrestlers' contracts are coming up, they're negotiating with the other promotion. They might not be doing it directly, but
it's a little bit. Here's the difference, because a lot of people were comparing that to Edge or Jeff Hardy.
Right.
Jeff Hardy got fired.
Right.
Edge had negotiated with WWE and was on his way out. Like, if you guys want to talk about something else, like a different name, like, well, by all means do it. But we're talking about people that are on their way out of the company or negotiating after they've been fired or something like that. That is categorically different. If you guys want to look at Dustin Rhodes or Sean Spears, the first time that they went from WWE to AEW, to me, it was abundantly clear they knew what they were doing. They knew that they were leaving. Like, John Moxley knew that he was leaving to go to AEW. Like, it was pretty evident there. Those are the comparisons that I think fit a lot more than that. But Jimmy, sometimes you have to bet on yourself, and
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football, it's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
BetOnline.ag. They're going to have odds up for Bound for Glory, I'm told, as well as Halloween Havoc. So you guys can check that out. We did have a few underdog picks. It's the first underdog lock picks that we've had in honestly quite some time for Wrestle Dream. We had Danielson retiring. We had MJF as first to appear. We had a lot of cool stuff over there. And speaking of, Amir says, have you heard of any opponents for John Cena's retirement tour? I haven't. But right now, we have some betting odds for who will induct John Cena in the Hall of Fame. Right now, Kurt Angle is a top betting odd, but he's still an underdog. There is no favorite there. There's there's a bunch of them if you guys want to put some money down, which is an interesting question. Interesting question.
Everybody wants it.
Yeah,
everybody. And if you're a young up-and-comer in WWE and you are not pushing as hard as you can for match with John Cena, then you might be in the wrong business.
Yeah.
Because that is the match you want. If it doesn't matter who you are on the card, that's the match that you want. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, Cena's going to want to work with so many people that he's never been able to work with. So, and I bet you we get Cena Punk one more time. I bet you we get Cena Randy Orton one more time. So it's going to be a fun.
I think John Cena should win the Royal Rumble and beat Gunther at WrestleMania to win his record breaking title. I really do. And I'm not a John Cena guy, but let me tell you about a super chat that may, like, very rarely can people pitch a Goldberg idea to me, win and me think, well, that's a great idea. Ryan says, do you think Goldberg is Dom's opponent next week? I think that's a brilliant idea. I think that's a great idea. Put some heat on Dominic. It is a quick match. Spear, jackhammer. It'll get a great pop.
It would.
Dominic Mysterio would sell the fear
of
Goldberg. Few people would make you think that Goldberg is in his prime more than Dominic Mysterio. Ryan, I think this is a phenomenal idea.
That's interesting. I think it's going to be Drew McIntyre. But you know what, let's do a little, an online thing and try to get viral going about Goldberg. Let's get Goldberg and Dominic Mysterio. That would be interesting.
I love that idea. BL says, did Jimmy do enough with his options from last week that his, this Fightful staff Christmas party will be its biggest. Usually the way that we do that is, basically we will get super chats, humper chats, divide them among the staff that doesn't include me. Last year we had a little bit of sponsor help, which was very generous of them, because when you finally become successful, it's not as easy to say, hey, crowdfund staff bonuses. When we're losing money, it's real easy to say that. But how'd you do on your options last week, Jimmy?
Last week I did well. While we were doing the podcast today, I stopped out on one, so that didn't go so well. But last week I did well. And anybody who is new to the market, honor stop loss. Honor it. It's always been my biggest issue as a trader. And honor stop loss. Very important.
We've got a few that are related to career stuff. And I think we can kind of tie this all in. But we'll get to this one first. Chris, wonderful, says, hey guys, longtime viewer. It's my first time writing in. Always love the show. No question. Just wanted to show my support. Keep up the great work. Thank you. We are
kind of you.
Almost exclusively audience funded between subscriptions and all that. Sponsors are the only other bit, because I know a lot of people say, well, what about clicks and ad? No, clicks don't pay us a damn thing. Not a thing. This ain't 1999. So this is very important to us. Thank you so much. But BL says, Sean, how did you decide to do this full time? And if you told your family this is going to be your career, did you have the support or get backlash? And Evan says, I'm already doing work in journalism, but I want to break into wrestling journalism on a part-time basis. Any advice? I could go on forever about this. I'll abbreviate it, but what I'll encourage you guys to do, I've done a few interviews. I did one with Xenia. I did one with Tom Campbell. I've done one with Chris Van Vliet. And did I mention Tom Talks Rubbish? I don't know if I mentioned that. No, Tom Campbell, Tom Talks Rubbish, Chris Van Vliet, and Xenia. Those, I go through everything in depth, but I had the support of my now wife. I'll say that much. I had the support of my MMA and wrestling team who I worked with. And I mean, probably because they got a lot of free work and promotion out of me. Like, they got managed for free. They didn't have to worry about somebody taping their hands up at MMA events. I promoted, you know, local gyms and fights and stuff and took care of them in that sense to get experience. But I will say there were some members of my family that didn't quite get it. Then when I became successful, they're like, okay, we see that you had a path for it. When did I decide to do this full time? I wrote for Bill Apter from 2010 to 2015. Around 2012, 2013, one of the MMA promotions that I worked for, which actually Jimmy saw a picture of me with a headset on, and that helped him reach out to me. They had a local MMA website, and they just said, we want to give this to you to do not just MMA work, but you can do sports work there as well, develop samples. You won't have to worry about assignments. You can do whatever you want. And I was able to stretch my legs a lot there. But in 2014, I was looking at my finances and my wife's finances, and I said, if I don't do this full time by the end of the year, I got to get into something else. I got to try something else because I was making no money. I was living off of almost nothing. We were living very, very broke at that point. And I did get hired full time, and I've spoken about that story. It did not work out, but I went to Wrestling Inc. Got a great, I would say, a great education in running a website there. And that was helpful because if I didn't get the full-time job that I got before Wrestling Inc., I would not have stuck with it. But I at least got enough to show me I need to stick with it. Any advice for getting into wrestling journalism? Expect to make little to no money. Do not expect to come in and make that money immediately. And do not expect to make a full-time living at it. The reality is, it is effectively talent driven. So you get, it's paid based on what you can contribute and bring in and get back. But what the biggest piece of advice I could ever give somebody, be competent at everything. You don't have to be an expert at everything, but cast a wide net. The reason why a lot of journalism programs are no longer journalism programs in school is because they're convergent media programs. And what that means is they want you to learn how to write the article, transcribe the quote, get the quote, edit the audio that the quote is on, post the video that the quote came from, do the thumbnail that the advertised quote runs on. They want you to be able to do everything. Do live events posts, do interview posts, review other people's shows, do opinion articles, do everything. That way you become at least competent at it. Because I rarely hire somebody for just one thing, which, by the way, we are looking for a graphic designer for our thumbnails right now. So we're looking for something high end there. So here's an in. That's a rarity. But if somebody comes to me and they say, well, in addition to that graphic design stuff, I do YouTube shorts and I do this and I do that, I'm more likely to give them a look because I know that I can trust them with more. Corey Brennan got brought on. He does not just do articles. He does European exclusives. He does graphics. He does memes. He does social media stuff. Cast a wide net. Be as versatile as possible. There are zero things, or I'll say this, outside of Melissa and Shandy and the team that Jimmy has employed, there is not a person that works at Fightful that does a job that I haven't done in the past.
And even mainstream journalists now, you know, when you see like a local report and then, you know, they're on the scene and they're interviewing people and then you got the voiceover, they do all of that themselves too. Now they're yes. doing the quotes and they're doing the video editing. And yeah, that is basically almost a requirement now.
And I want to address this because it's something that's become, it's come up an awful lot. Do aggregators consider themselves a journalist? Journalists. I got my start aggregating. And it is very important to media to do that. Now, what I don't expect, having been an aggregator in the past, is like some residuals or something like that from the money they make off of that. Aggregation is important. But there's an element of aggregation I have respect for and an element that I don't. If you are a website aggregating something, or you're an account that provides opportunities to other people. I'll give you a good example, WrestlePurists. I don't always like it when they do it, but what I see them doing is creating a network of especially young names that are trying to establish themselves and want to do the work right. And they didn't start off like that. They developed a website, they developed a YouTube. Then I see other accounts that have just grown in popularity because, honestly, media has been dumbed down an awful lot. And sometimes that's just the specifics of convenience. But if you're not providing anybody else an opportunity and you're just running a Twitter account and taking somebody else's quote, like I see that happen to Ricchino a lot because he works for Sports Illustrated. Well, they get paid per click there. The writers do. You know, Sports Illustrated ain't hurting for money. That's how Ricchino makes his living. And you'll see some accounts just come by and then they'll say, from SI Wrestling. Nah, son, that is from Ricchino, who worked his ass off to get that interview, transcribe the quote, post it, and get interesting stuff. And I think there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And people want to get the clout without the work. And I understand that there are an awful lot of people that look at what I do and what other people do and think, well, there's no work to be done there. I used to think that about people. I've mentioned that in a lot in the past, but then I put in the work. I put in the 60-hour weeks and the not having time with my loved ones to earn where I am now to hopefully create a website like Fightful where people don't necessarily have to do that. And Kenny, I know that you didn't mean this as an insult. He says WrestleTalk and my two favorite wrestling channels. I don't have a problem with WrestleTalk. Not only do they provide incredible opportunities, they are heavily, like they benefited myself and Denise greatly and Fightful greatly for what they did. There are some, the former Lords of Pain, now Wrestling Headlines, who at times have subscribed to Fightful Select at tiers that don't exist. They would edit their pledge to like $300 or $500. Like that's just to show a little bit of respect for what we do and say, well, we're making an awful lot of money off of what you do. So here you go. And Demon Diva says, be ready to give up on having a social life. It can be a sacrifice. But I saw people like when Woj wrapped it up, they're like, he wanted to have a normal life. He didn't want to have his phone next to the shower. And I'm like, listen, I've been there. But like, I'm not going to act like I'm like I'm a COVID nurse or something like that. I wanted to do this. I like doing this. We're not going to act like it's some like heart-wrenching sacrifice to make. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like that, but it requires a lot of work. Damn, I could rant about that shit all day. There's right ways, there's wrong ways. And I also understand, especially based on my social media conduct, if people don't think that I do it the right way. Fortunately, I have put myself in a position where I work for an outlet where the people I have to answer to are right here and right here. So I don't have Sports Illustrated or ESPN breathing down my neck. Kenny says, Sean, or Jimmy, then Sean, F, Mary, kill, NBA, NFL, MLB.
All right. I'm going to say Mary, NFL, because it's the richest.
Yeah.
The three. I'm going to say F, you don't have the NHL in there. Oh, this makes it harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary, the NFL, kill the MLB, and F the NBA.
I got to go with that as well. I mean, listen, NFL, richest, shortest season. Don't have to deal with them that much if you don't want to, but I love here's the thing. I love the NFL. Truly love. Yeah. The only thing I love more than wrestling is football. F the NBA, in, you know, the good way. She's got to be well conditioned. NBA, probably attractive in that sense. Got to kill the MLB. Listen, sometimes it can be long and boring, and they've taken a lot of great steps there. I don't think that much rivals October baseball, but I'm a Reds fan, so kill MLB. Kill MLB. We have a bunch more of these. Bad Robot says, wanted to thank you for fostering an amazing community. The Friday SmackDown show is my favorite. Who are your favorite and least favorite at Fightful?
So when I did the interview with Tom Talks Rubbish, Sean, he asked me that. He's like, who are the people at Fightful that you're really proud of? And who are the ones that you're not so proud of? And I was like, I'm proud of everybody.
least favorite. Let me go on my invoice.
He's probably going to say me.
No, I won't say Jimmy. That's not fair. Let's go on our invoices thing. I'll tell you a person that I'm very sentimental about, Kyler, who when I did not want to run the Fightful Twitter account anymore in late 2016, he was just like, hey man, can I have a job? I was like, what do you have experience in? He's like, not a lot. And we gave him the social media thing, and he organically made it one of the biggest in wrestling. So a sentimental favorite right there, and somebody I'm always happy with.
There you go.
Let's see. Least favorite. Who gives me the most headaches? Damn.
You're going to actually say this publicly.
Yeah, I'll say it publicly. Let's see here. As I'm scrolling up and down.
Kate can take a joke. So maybe just name Kate because she can take a joke.
I won't name Kate. I might have quit if Kate didn't work here, Jimmy. Not because of you, because I was going through a mental collapse. Mm. I got to go with the very, very obvious one. Jeremy Lambert.
Okay, I thought you were going to say him for
no, no, I absolutely will not name somebody that's my least favorite star. I love everybody I work for. It was seriously difficult. Grapsity Discord. I don't know anything about a Grapsity Discord. I'm sorry.
Somebody said Denise. Denise would have been a good one for Shits and Giggles as
Denise,
well.
Denise, let me just say this. Denise is as ride or die if you are good to her as anybody. I won't say who or what, but there was a situation where somebody who had been very, very terrible to me was about to be presented with a situation they should not have been. And Denise is like, I ain't fucking going if they're there. And this is something Denise had planned for a while. Like, Denise is ride or die. She's very, very, Denise is good to people who are good to her. Most emotional moment in pro wrestling. For a while, I would have said the Ric Flair retirement, but
it's an easy one for me.
What's that?
The Owen Hart tribute on Raw.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one.
That was tough.
To say something different, I would say the Roman Reigns leukemia announcement was right up there. That one was, whew, boy. Like, to go from just all those people that were hating him from an on-screen character standpoint to being like, oh, shit. New Lack City says, what's up, guys? Jimmy, SRS, you mentioned you used to run some wrestling shows. Can you touch on your wrestling experience? Do you mean me or Jimmy? I used to help promote local stuff, and I ran, like, pretty illegal smokers at our gym. Well, we ran a catch wrestling gym. We ran a catch wrestling and MMA gym, and there was catch wrestling, MMA, kickboxing, all that. So what I would do, definitely without commission approval, is we would make open challenges, and we would say, anybody who thinks they can beat up a person on an MMA team, we got boxing, we got kickboxing, we got MMA smokers, we got grappling. And we would put our least experienced in each one of those against literally anybody who wanted to, as like a display of, here's what we can do and here's what we're capable of. And then myself and another member of our pro wrestling training team would do a pro wrestling match, Jimmy, on a boxing ring.
Hard to cement.
Highlight all that. Also, I did help agent a little bit, which I was in no position to do in that shindy, some river towns. But Jimmy's wrestling experience is actually something you can look up on FightfulSelect.com, Jimmy, because we've done some commentary over some of the matches that you promoted, including like Eric Young, Bobby Roode, people like that.
Yep. I met a gentleman in 1998 by the name of Jeff Merrick. And anybody who is Canadian, you know that name because he became a pretty big hockey analyst for the NHL. And I still talk to him to this day. But back then, he was part of Live Audio Wrestling, the original Law Wrestling radio show. I met him when I moved to Toronto. He introduced me to other people, and that led to me getting into the independent wrestling scene in Ontario.
Was one Canada. Of them that Live Audio Wrestling doofus who keeps on hitting up my Instagram thing.
One of them was him.
To be loudly wrong until Matt Cardona says, bro, you're wrong. Is it him?
Him and I are cool, but he was one of them.
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah, he was one of them. But
I don't, eh?
But that was where, so Ontario, Canada at that time was, there was a wealth of talent here at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I worked with everybody from Bobby Roode to Eric Young. I co-promoted a couple of shows with Scott D'Amore. I had a rookie, Angelina Love, on the show. I still call her Angel Williams to this day because Angel Williams is how I knew her.
We had footage of her that we did commentary over. By the way, Scott D'Amore with a phenomenal debut for Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Marino can make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Marino and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Looks like Canadian TNA. It ended up being really great. Got a lot of buzz. We had a great interview with him last week. If you guys didn't check that out, and he specifically said this, Jimmy, he's like, man, when I was coming up, there were an awful lot of opportunities for Canadian independent talent that do not exist the way that it does now.
It's very different. And like the last crop that I can think of was like Sean Spears, was one of like the later guys from the territory. And I'm sorry, her name escapes me. The girl that was in WWE for a while, her name escapes me all of a sudden. She's from the area, but yeah, there were way more back then. And things have changed a lot in that regard, especially with NXT now, right? Where WWE is recruiting people right out of college, less independent talent. Things have changed.
Yeah.
But no, I did that for years, promoted shows for years, got to work with a lot of legends, Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Jake and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Aaliyah. Yes. Aaliyah. Yeah. But
Okay.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
By the way, Jimmy, if you need to go, let me know. We do have a number of super chats, Humper chats.
Still. I'm good for a little bit. Okay. When I hear the door go, that means I gotta go, but I'm good for now.
Fair. Jake says, what's the story on Peacock removing NXT episodes? It is now on WB, so I don't think they have the rights, but I'll find out. Will Rey Fénix be used in AEW or not? He should, in my opinion. Yes, he should be. I don't know if he will be, but if you're just keeping him to not let him go anywhere, I get it, but it's petty and it's stupid and you just shouldn't do it. You're wasting money at that point. What's the hierarchy at AEW like? There's Tony. There had been Jimmy Jacobs, his right-hand man. But you have Koshay right around there as well, and Chris Harrington, who makes decisions financially. And then you have the writing team, which is, you know, Will, Sanjay, QT, all those people. And then coaches as well, who contribute an awful lot creatively.
And Jimmy Jacobs was not fired, Sean, as people were suggesting on social media.
Told him. Tried to tell him. Mr. CJ Lilly says, hey, guys, let me read this again.
I think it means just thought. Yeah,
with the Wyatt 6 versus Final Testament happening. Yeah, please don't write shorthand, guys. What if Cross's plan to get them to join Alexa to join the Testament, who's better to take them down than the one that took them out? Fiend has already been forgotten by Howdy. I would like an Alexa integration. And see, Mr. CJ Lilly, thank you so much for that. I know that he's always asking about Alexa. I had heard that the earliest she would be back was fall. And I didn't report when I heard that they might have creative stuff for her, because that time has already come and passed. So I'm glad that I didn't. But I feel like we got to be looking at maybe pretty soon her coming back. It's been almost 2 years.
I've seen video of her training.
Yeah, video of her training. And I like that idea. Like I like the idea of maybe her taking them down, or maybe they've got to prove themselves to her in some sense. And I think that would be very, very cool for them to do.
The White Six needs direction.
Or Trude.
They've been floating around aimlessly. I mean, they did the thing with Chad Gable and his group.
Well, they haven't been floating around. They've been off the show.
Well, okay. Sure. Yeah. And then Karrion Kross's group. I've said this so many times.
Floating around aimlessly.
Yeah. Buddy. When you keep losing, nobody cares about you. You know what I mean?
AOP getting pinned with roll up pins.
Right. Yeah. That group has pretty much been dead from the time they put them together.
We've got, Bobby saying, are reports true that Nick Khan thinks very highly of Bruce Pritchard? Does Bruce share the same opinion and value backstage in the same vein amongst Paul Heyman as of talent? I don't think the same as Paul Heyman, but if Nick didn't think well of Bruce Pritchard, Bruce Pritchard would not be there right now. Bruce Pritchard would have been long gone. He would have been a very easy one for them to fire and say, well, too many ties to Vince McMahon, too much of a Vince guy, might be pushing Vince's ideas through. But I think it's abundantly clear that Nick Khan at least has to have some regard towards Bruce, Jimmy.
I'm sure. I mean, Bruce, you know, he does bring a lot to the table. He's got decades of experience doing what he's doing and working with talent. And I'm sure because he's on the creative end, Hunter, I'm sure, has input too, right? Like do you think that if Nick Khan went to Hunter and said, I want to cut Bruce, do you think that Hunter has enough clout to say, no, I don't want to?
Yeah, I possibly. Possibly. Yeah, I believe so. We've got Jake from Windy City saying, Jimmy, since you're in Canada, are you going to miss the original WWE Network when everything moves to Peacock?
Not one bit. So in Canada, I get it on Netflix coming in January. I get everything on Netflix coming in January, and apparently the library as well. So nope, I'm not going to miss the network one bit.
Do you think Vikingo goes to WWE? I think they should make him an offer to go to WWE. I think he would do great in NXT.
Yeah, he needs work. He needs
work. What do you mean? Vikingo?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'm not a huge fan of, you know, high spots for the sake of high spots.
Sure.
Some of his stuff, he takes way too long to set up. I'm not a huge fan of it.
But yeah, I mean, that's a common Lucha problem that usually gets rectified in NXT.
That's what I was going to say. NXT, I think, would fix all that. Yes.
I do remember one time I saw Bandido set up someone for the Del Rio spot that I hate, where they're sitting on the ropes and they're holding the top rope.
Yes.
He ran across the ring, ran back, went to the outside, then did a springboard 450.
Okay.
When does Nakamura's contract expire? If we have that information, it's under our resources section on Fightful. Where do I see Mike Bailey, Josh Alexander, or Jordan going? Mike Bailey, if he doesn't go to AEW, I could see him working a more expansive indie schedule. I think WWE probably should bring him into NXT, though. I really think that he would fit great there and wow some people.
I like Josh a lot, obviously. And Josh is not only is he a great wrestler, but he's a good guy too. And Jordan Grace, we put her over all the time. She looks like a megastar. She just looks like a star. Yeah. But she's punching her own ticket, eh, Sean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Josh Alexander, it's clear that they had at least some affinity for him in AEW, at least a little bit of it. But yeah, a lot of people are not happy.
It's my opinion. So you can hate me for it. I don't care one bit.
You mark. Crispy says, by the way, guys, you're not going to get us with gotcha questions. You're wasting your super chat if you're trying to force us into an answer on something that I don't feel comfortable answering. Crispy says, can we get more Fightful shows with you, Sean and Alex? Hey, I said you're not going to get me with any more gotcha stuff. I said, Alex and I have such a different review style. I know that the chemistry and humor might work, but also I got to make sure that reviews are fair and stuff like that. I wouldn't mind appearing on more shows with him. I do run-ins on his Select stuff and NXT stuff all the time. I love Alex along with Jimmy. Me, him, and Alex are the only day one Fightful people still here. So always partial there. But yeah, I'm sure we can do something in the future together. I love Alex. I love working with him. Any surprises for the TNA Gauntlet Saturday that you know of, SRS? It's in Michigan, so my guess is RVD and Jimmy Jacobs. I would almost expect Jimmy Jacobs to some capacity. RVD would be a nice one as well. First off, I expect surprises at every TNA taping at this point, just because they have sort of the revolving door. Anybody that you think of?
Not really. It seems like the WWE thing's been downplayed a little lately, you know, a little bit. Otherwise, I would pick some people from WWE or NXT, I should say. But yeah, nobody really comes to mind.
Get your super chats. Get your Humper chats in. We would greatly appreciate that as we are wrapping it up. Nulak City says, and as an avid hater of people like Charlie Russo and Coachman, for many reasons, I have to take Russo's side on that one. As a New York guy, I've seen Mushnick stick for decades. Mm. The man hates everything, has a vendetta against wrestling, hip hop, and pop culture. Yeah. And I understood Mushnick's point that the person who ran the symposium was a steroid sheet, allegedly. But if that's the thing and you're presented the opportunity to ask that person questions, go confront them. Go ask that question, especially if that is what he does, is the gotcha journalism thing. That's what his thing is, and that's what he leans into. So why not jump on that possibility?
And something else about Mushnick, because it just popped in my head. That same article I talked about, October 31st, 1999, he didn't mention Russo by name, but he mentioned writers jumping from WWE to WCW. So obviously Russo was one of them. Referred to them as porn writers. That's what Mushnick called them, porn writers. Yeah, yeah.
Any further developments on AJ Styles? So I want to further my point on this. So what I was told is there was supposed to be an injury angle that night, but at least according to who he's telling and who WWE is at least claiming to, they all claim it's legit. There was just so much that didn't pass the smell test, and this is in all due respect to his physical health, but the segment ending on time, them having LA Knight ready, them going to the finish, keeping the camera on him, them filming him hobbling out, them having a trainer segment set up backstage, them filming him walking out of the venue and then airing it on SmackDown Lowdown, having Jackie Redmond break injury news on Twitter, which she never does, the specifics, and then having AJ answer it like, everything happens for a reason. I was like, a lot didn't pass the smell test, and I hope that it is a work. And I say that with all due respect to, you know, his health and everything like that. But I think it'd actually be a good story. But damn, Jimmy, anything else you got before we go?
Yeah, I want to bid farewell and good luck to Samantha Irvin.
Yeah, as do I.
It's not often that a talent leaves a company and I get bummed out about it. That doesn't happen very often. Monday, when I saw her post that she was leaving WWE, I was pretty bummed about it, man. Because Samantha Irvin was like a ray of sunshine on WWE Raw. I loved her genuine enthusiasm and her genuine emotion and her reactions to match finishes. She was one of the best to ever do it. And I got to give props to Triple H, because if you're going to lose Samantha Irvin, who's one of the best that they've ever had, but you can get Lillian Garcia, who I also love and think highly of, and she's also like a ray of sunshine on that show. Not a bad consolation prize if you can get Lillian Garcia. And can you believe Lillian is like over 55?
She's 58, man.
Like mind-boggling. She looks incredible. She hasn't aged in 20 years. So
also James has any interest from WWE, AEW, and thank you. Sorry to interrupt you. Not that I've heard of, but also lots of talk about the Carlito thing. I can't confirm EO and Kyrie's reaction. People in WWE claim to me it was unscripted. Here, I extended my feelings on it, but I do want to expand a little bit. like, why is there no middle ground? Like, the people that I see in my replies, there's a very small middle ground. I want to say like a 5-10% middle ground, because one extreme is this is incredibly racist and a lot of people saying he should be fired. I don't think he should be fired. And the other end, just these mind-numbingly stupid people that say snowflake pussy idiots. I'm like, why is there no attempt to educate or be educated? And then when a person like DS from Ring the Bell or Kevin Koo, who have experienced this type of thing, share why it bothered them, you get a whole bunch of people saying like, oh, this is why we can't enjoy anything anymore. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking? I'll give you a good example, Jimmy. We mentioned the movie Waiting. I watched that and Team America World Police recently, and I used to think they were the funniest things. And I wasn't offended by anything that was said in those. I was just like, this isn't as funny as I remembered it, because I got older, got a little bit more sophisticated. I'm not going to act like it's like I'm the most sophisticated person, but your tastes change and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I look at that and I'm like, okay, well, your taste changes, you grow up, and not everything needs to be sophomoric or ridiculous. And I don't think that Carlito was trying to offend. But also when people say, oh, well, he was playing an idiot. Well, okay. If he said something like, I got to learn to speak Russian, that would make him look equally as much of an idiot, because he has no idea where they came from. Or Irish, which is just people speaking English. He's just too dumb to know. You know what I mean? Like,
that actually would have been funnier.
There you go. Would have been funnier. To me, I looked at it and I said, it was a dumb line. And I go back to the lesson you pounded in my head, Jimmy. What was the benefit of that? Mm. There was none, as it turned out. That's where I stand on that.
Yeah, I choose not to ever post about stuff like that. So you'll notice on Twitter, I said nothing about it. And sure. The reason for that is I'm not offended by anything, but I'm a middle-aged white guy. Yeah. I can't relate to what an Asian person deals with. And so seeing like what Kevin Koo wrote and like you said,
DS. And the responses to it.
Yeah.
The responses were insane, Jimmy.
Right. Yeah. I can't relate to it. And so that's why I choose just not say anything. But I have no more to comment on that, Sean.
We got Matt saying, happy Shelton and Motor City Machine Gun got their flowers. Buddy, as a longtime Shelton fan, like legitimately my favorite wrestler ever, I was excited for that. I'm excited for his match tonight. I got the lotion out and poured water all over myself, Jimmy. I was so excited.
Someone's going to clip that, Sean.
I already clipped it myself.
Oh, you did.
Myself. Yeah. Pedro says thoughts on the Mania ticket price is higher than expected. WWE is a hot ticket right now, so that's why it's going to happen. They won't knock him down until they have to.
I haven't seen him, so I'm going to go check it out after we're off here.
Broadway Joe says, how would you all handle the Carlito thing? I feel like WWE has to do something, but I can see them wanting a move away from punishing talent. He ain't going to get fired. He ain't going to get suspended. Might get a small fine or something like that is what I would suggest. And it can, you know, donate that fine to an appropriate cause, I believe, would be the right thing to do.
They could always do a backstage segment with him and them where they kind of make it right somehow. I mean, there's ways that it can be done. But yeah, I know. I guess we'll see. Yeah, somebody just said Io and Kairi will tell him we're Japanese, bitch.
Well, I mean, that's
they could do.
Well, Jimmy, that's why it bothered a lot of people, because there was a situation in NXT where a fan yelled at Io, go back to China, and she looked back at him and she goes, I'm Japanese, bitch.
Ah, okay.
So it's like she's been subjected to that type of thing before. And
right. Right. That reminds me, even though it's not nearly as bad, it reminds me when somebody said to Jericho, go back to Toronto. Remember that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But that was definitely.
No, not the same, but.
Yeah, not the same.
Ignorance.
Not the same. Guys, I am back here for the AEW post show. But how about this? Some AEW TV deal, Shockwave updates coming to FightfulSelect.com for subscribers. I didn't plug Fightful Select, I don't think, one time this show. $5 a month, $54 a year. You get a bunch of podcasts. You get access to our Discord. Check it out. We will have more on that shortly. Until next time, guys, we're out.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno can make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno can make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.